This encounter with the goodness of God happens, and he helps us get on board with what his truth is about a matter. And we actually, that's what repent means, to change our mind about a thing, and helps us in repentance. If we look back on that scenario, it's almost like we would say, the goodness of God just kind of snuck up on me. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like he just comes, and it's a non-threatening, it's a non-confrontational way. It's the goodness of God. And we're in this encounter with the goodness of God. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, now I see, and I want to get aligned with you, Lord, in this particular area. Does that make sense? Just the goodness of God helping us to repent and change our mind about a matter. And then afterwards, it's like getting a shot. You know, some of us get all worked up about getting a shot. We get it, and afterwards we're like, oh, that wasn't bad at all. And it's almost like that. Like the goodness of God is sneaking up on us, if I can put it that way, and is helping us to adjust and to shift. And afterwards, it's like, isn't that just like God? It wasn't a painful thing at all. It was good. So let's just pray for a release of the goodness of God this morning. Amen? And we actually have someone that's going to share a testimony about the goodness of God this morning. So, Jack, if you would, please.
I've been thinking about this for weeks, but it's almost, I don't write, but I have a thought in my brain, and it's called, get this exciting thing, it's called my trip to Walmart. And it's talking about bologna and cheese and crackers and bananas and what you have to get. Well, we pulled into the parking lot. We got Nancy's cart out of the cart. We're getting it out. A young man comes to us, and he says, could we help you? Could I help you? And I said, no, I think we got it under control. But I said, well, young man, do you know what today is? I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, today is Good Friday. Today is Good Friday. And he said, oh, well, thank you for letting me know that. He walks away, and he's getting his phone out, and he told somebody, hey, this older gentleman told me about Good Friday. And so I had no idea I was going to talk to him like that, but We go into Walmart, we get into the area where the bananas and all that kind of thing is, and a Hispanic walks by me. And I said, young man, could I speak to you? I didn't know what I was going to do, but I said, he stopped and he said, yeah. And I said, do you know what the day is? You know, this is Good Friday. This is the day that Christ gave his life. So he said, well, thank you. Or I don't know if he said in Spanish or English, I don't know which, but he walked away. I went and got some cheese. I said, give me a half pound of American cheese. And he did it. And he brought it and weighed it. And I said, to this young man, I said, do you know what the day is? I said, the day? It might take me all day to get through this. But anyways, I said, he said, yeah, this is Good Friday. I said, you're right. So I get on. This is two chapters. I can't do it all in one chapter. I'll have to do it in the future.
But continued. Yeah.
I went on further. And another Hispanic went by me. And I said, young man, could I talk to you a minute? I said, do you know what the day is? And I went on and told him, and he says, in his broken English, he said, thank you. And he looked like he accepted it. So I went on to the Bread Owl. And an American came by me, and I said, sir, could I speak to you a minute? He said, yeah. Could I ask you a question? Do you know what today is? Today is Good Friday. And he said, that's right. I forgot about that. And he went on, and I went on to another section. And another American came by me, and I said the same thing. And another American came by, said the same thing. A black American came by, and I said, young man, do you know what today is? Today is Good Friday. He said, oh, that's right. And so I went on. Another Mexican or South American, whatever, came by me. And I said, excuse me, could I ask you a question? Do you know what today is? He sort of looked a little confused, and I said, you know, today is Good Friday. Today is a day that Christ went to the cross. But anyways, I kept going on. People kept coming by me, and I kept saying, excuse me, could I say to you what today is? It's a wonderful day. It's Good Friday. And I went on, and I went on, and I went on, and people kept coming by me, and I kept going by them, and black, white, Mexican, South American, and all that, but I kept saying the same thing. Today is a day that we can celebrate what Christ did for us. And that's the end of chapter one. Sometime in the future, I can share chapter two, because it is exciting how the world mostly know, but they don't always keep it in mind. It's sort of starting to be just another day. Another day at Walmart.
Well, Jack, you have us all on the edge of our seats now. You got chapter two. Wonderful. Listen, maybe somebody else has a quick testimony about the goodness of God that they want to share. While you're thinking about that, Marty, if you would share those verses out of Psalms, I just really feel like we need to hear that this morning. I'll give you this mic if you want to just...
Earlier this morning, I was drawn to this psalm, Psalm 89. And I was thinking about the fact that people were to be coming this morning that wanted to make a change, wanted to see things drop off of their lives and wanted to pick up the fresh things that the Savior had. And as I went down through the psalm, here are some verses that described our awesome God. Listen. Your arm is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand is exalted. What makes up his throne? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Who are you and I? We are the blessed. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. And the sense that I had this morning is that as we make the exchange of the old things, that we're going to pick up the new things. We're going to discover more of who He is, how great and how strong He is, and how He wants to touch us and change us. We're going to have divine appointments this week ahead of us because He is our God. Amen.
Amen. Stay there just for a minute. How much does that tie in with what Jack's just sharing with us? Would you just take a moment and pray? Let's just come together and pray into that for just a minute here. Lead us in prayer, Marty.
Gracious Father, we bow and honor Your presence because it's Your presence that makes us strong.
Yes.
Nothing in ourselves, but everything in You. And so as we contemplate about the divine assignments that we're going to encounter this week, we appropriate Your strength, we appropriate Your power, we appropriate Your words, justice and faithfulness and righteousness are about Your throne. And we declare that every place our soul treads this week, that there will be drops of Your presence, Your counsel, Your might through our lips and through our lifestyle, that there will be transformation taking place in hearts. We thank You that this is all possible because of what, Savior, You have done. We thank You for the blood that covers us. We thank You for the resurrection power that is at our disposal. And we just lay access to it and claim it to be our provision,
yes,
our daily provision. We ask that glory and honor will constantly go to the Son of God who reigns on high, and He is exalted above every other name. So we just encourage ourselves in the Lord today that we are a part of Your family and that You belong to us. And we belong to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Marty. You know, He pours out His goodness on us, and then we get to share that goodness with others. He blesses us, and then we get to be a blessing to others. Jack got unleashed the other day, and Walmart was not a safe place. Or should I say, it was the place to be, because he had some good news to share. I heard this amazing testimony about a woman from America that was in a Middle Eastern country that was predominantly Muslim. And she had to get a cab to go someplace. And so the cab shows up, she gets in the back, and there's a Muslim man that is her cab driver. So they're driving to the destination. On the way there, and I may have even shared this earlier, like last month or something, but bear with me. On the way there to the destination, the Lord spoke to her heart and said, I want you to tell this man that I love him. And she stopped, she paused and thought about this for a moment. I'm a white American woman in a Muslim nation, and I'm going to tell this Muslim that God loves him. Does that seem like a good idea to me? In the natural, probably it wouldn't, right? But Holy Spirit kept coming back to her and saying, I want you to share with this man that I love him. And so finally, reluctantly, whenever they got to the destination, the woman got out of the cab and she's paying the cab driver. And before she turns to leave quickly, she says, oh, by the way, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you that he loves you. She turns around. She's ready to bolt, right? Okay, God, I did what you wanted me to. I'm out of here. And she takes a few steps and the cab driver is calling to her. Wait, 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 lady, come back, come back. So she, you know, hesitantly goes back and he says, I know that God loves me. He's been coming to me in dreams and revealing to me that he loves me. And he's been asking me to lay some things down and to pick some things up. I know that he loves me. And he told me that today he was going to send a woman to me to tell me that you love me. Wow is right. And the icing on the cake is that man is now a pastor in his country. come on. The goodness of God makes a difference in us, and we get to share it with others. Golly, I would say the goodness of God snuck up on that cab driver, right? Snuck up on that cab driver and helped him to work through some repentance, to help work through a shift or a change in his way of thinking, right? That the goodness of God would be poured out in this place and help us to make that same type of shift. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yes. So the goodness of God is pretty good. I mean, God cared so much about this woman that she sent Jackie for her. All those people in Walmart that Jack interacted with, you know? God cares about the interest that James has. And so gives him this identical engine to put in the one that he has. The goodness of God is really good. And it's that goodness that helps us to shift, helps us to change. Okay. Thank you for helping me preach this sermon this morning. I don't know if you guys realize it or not, but these testimonies, you guys are like, we're doing this together, right? We're preaching this together. Let's go to Isaiah 53. Okay, and we even have a little bit of time for a message. Isn't that great? Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, this is his show, okay? This is his deal. This is the Lord's. And I'm just along for the ride, and I just, as the best I can, I want to kind of walk where he's walking, do what he's doing. But we're here in Isaiah 53, and this is obviously a pretty well-known chapter in the Bible. This is one of the most most popular messianic prophecies that we find. Let me just read this. I have my Jack Hayford Spirit-Filled Study Bible here, and he puts it so well. I just want to read what he has written here about this chapter. This is the best-known prophecy of the crucifixion in the Bible, and both Matthew and Peter quote from it in the New Testament. Writing 8 centuries before Christ, Isaiah made incredibly accurate statements concerning the facts of the crucifixion. But more importantly, he spoke of the purpose of the cross. In Christ's suffering and death, he bore more than our sins. The penalty for sin is death, but Christ did not need to suffer as he did to provide atonement. This chapter tells us why he suffered. He suffered to bear our griefs and sorrows, and he suffered for our peace and healing. Surely atonement for sin is our greatest need. Yet God, sending his Son to suffer and die, provided more than an escape from judgment. He provided for abundant life beginning today. Isn't that good? When we talk about the work that Christ did on our behalf at the cross, of course, he went to die as a substitute, sacrificially, on behalf of our sins. And we definitely receive and need to receive forgiveness of sins through what Jesus accomplished in the atonement. And there's more. It's like, that would be good enough. It's like an infomercial. But there's more, you know? We get forgiveness of sins, which we would do cartwheels all day about if that was the only thing that Jesus provided for. But there's more. He provided for the healing of our bodies through the atonement. Let's just look in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Those two words, griefs and sorrows, literally mean sickness and pains. So we could say, surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's the verse that God has been running through my mind for at least the past 2 weeks. And by his stripes, we are healed. That is good news. We need to know that God just doesn't heal when he's having a good day, when he feels like, yeah, I guess, you know, they've done this, this, and this, so I'll heal. No, no, no. There was a transaction that took place 2,000 years ago, and he paid the price, what it took for us to receive forgiveness of sins. And there in that transaction was provided for the healing of our bodies in that same transaction that happened 2,000 years ago through what Jesus did. Bill Johnson tells the story of a new truck that he bought. He went in, paid cash for a brand new truck. It was like a Chevy Avalanche, four-wheel drive. Oh, it had leather interior. He said a dead deer fit nicely in the back, you know, in the bed of the truck, you know. He said it was awesome. He said it was the will of God for my life. I know it was. But he said he bought this truck. He had it for like a year, put 10,000 miles on it. What if he went back into that dealer and said, I changed my mind about buying this truck? What would the dealer say to him? The dealer would laugh. He'd be like, look, buddy, you can park it. You can give it away. You can sell it. You can drive it off a cliff for all I care. But you can't change your mind about buying this truck. You bought it, right? Because this transaction happened. Listen, God decided, and there was a transaction 2,000 years ago. He bought us and provided for the forgiveness of our sins and for the healing of our bodies. Isn't that good news? That is so good. Surely he has borne our sickness. He's carried our pain. By his stripes, we are healed. That is some good news. Let me read some more here. Isaiah 53 clearly teaches that bodily healing is included in the atoning work of Christ, his suffering and his cross. The Hebrew words for griefs and sorrows specifically mean physical affliction. This is verified in the fact that Matthew 8:17 says this. It says this Isaiah text is being fulfilled in Jesus healing people of human sickness and other physical needs. We're going to look at that in just a minute, that verse out of Matthew. Further, the words born and carried referred to Jesus' atoning work on the cross is made clear by the fact that they are the same words used to describe Christ bearing our sins in verse 11. So let's jump a little bit later in this chapter and let's take a look at verse 11. It says, he shall see the labor of his soul. God the Father shall see the labor of God the Son, Jesus' soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. How? For he shall bear their iniquities. What Jesus accomplished on the cross was he took the sin that we deserve, and instead of us receiving it, he received that punishment. He bore that. And so that word, he shall bear their iniquities, that same word is used, he has borne our sickness. So the same way that Jesus provided for the forgiveness of our sins, he provided for the healing of our bodies. Isn't that good? I like that. We're going to spend some time in prayer here in just a few minutes. And if you have a need for healing, we're going to pray and we're going to believe that God's going to move and bring healing in areas that need healing. Amen? Amen. The goodness of God is going to sneak up on us. Let me read just a little bit more. These texts unequivocally link the grounds of provision for both our salvation and our healing to the atoning work of Calvary. Neither is automatically appropriated, however, for each provision. A soul's eternal salvation or a person's temporal physical healing must be received by faith. Christ's work on the cross makes each possible. Simple faith receives each as we choose. And so we share the gospel with somebody. We share the good news that you're a sinner. Jesus came and died on a cross so that you wouldn't have to suffer the consequences. And as you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as you've received forgiveness, you have a restored relationship with God. We share that good news with somebody, and by faith, they receive that. This is what we all did when we became born again, right? We heard the good news, we heard the Word of God, and by faith, we received it. And was there any question that we had received forgiveness of sins? Oh, sure, there might have been doubts or uncertainties in our minds afterwards, but what's the spiritual reality that happened when we, by faith, received forgiveness of sins? Was it in question? Was there any uncertainty from heaven's perspective? It's a done deal. Take it to the bank all day long. This person received by faith forgiveness of sins? It's a done deal. And I would submit that because of what Jesus provided in the atonement, we can receive the healing of our bodies the same way. By faith. By simple faith. By simple childlike faith that Pastor Steve was talking about in the children's message this morning. Right? If that's what the Word of God says, well, we're crazy not to receive that, right? Amen. We're crazy not to have a shift take place in our minds if that's what needs to take place. This is good stuff. Who wouldn't want to get in on this? We receive it by simple childlike faith. I want to read verses 4 and 5. And this is a prophet writing about the Messiah and referring to him in the third person. What I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this morning is read these two verses in the first person as if Jesus is saying this to us. Let's just take a minute to close our eyes. And the way that we did earlier, how we picture Jesus right there, right in front of us. Hallelujah. Just picture him right there. And he says these words to you. Surely I have borne your sickness and carried your pain. Yet you esteemed me stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement for your peace was upon me. And by my stripes, you are healed. Let that sink in. Jesus says, by my stripes, you are healed. I paid the price. I did what needed to be done for you to receive this. He says, by my stripes, you are healed. So should we doubt when we ask him to forgive our sins? No. Likewise, should we doubt when we ask him to heal our bodies? No. We receive both by faith. F.F. Bosworth, who wrote a classic on healing, and I highly recommend it, a book called Christ the Healer. He said, don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubts, for they are unreliable. Isn't that good? Don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubts, because they're unreliable.
Well, Father, we're so thankful that when we set our hearts to meet with you on Sunday morning, you're even more excited to meet with us. And so we thank you that you've encountered us today, encouraged us today, strengthened us today, reminded us of what your Son did on the cross for us, and you just overwhelmed us today with your goodness. So as we go out, we're reminded that we have a message to share of your great love and your goodness. That you so loved each one. So there's nobody that we should feel hesitant to share that message with, because it applies to everyone we encounter this week. That God so loved the world that he sent his Son to die on the cross for you. For you, so that he could be reconciled with you and you could discover the good and awesome destiny he has for you. what a message we have to share. Thank you for encouraging us and strengthening us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.